At 3CI, we believe generosity is not about money. It's about how you see Jesus. We believe giving should be done willingly, sacrificially, cheerfully, and wholeheartedly, with our time, talents, and treasures. When we are faithful as a church in bringing the tithe and being generous, each of us contributing what God has entrusted us with, we step into what God has called us to. 3CI, through your giving over the last year as a church, we have sown 7.3 million rand. We believe God has called 3CI to be a base church, like the Church of Antioch in Acts 11. We are called to be a blessing and a resource to others. We build into lives, we see people saved, lives restored. We live not for ourselves, but for others. We are humbled with how much we have been entrusted with as a church, especially when you start to look at all that has been made possible through your generosity. We've seen countless people being saved, then actively engaged in our life groups. We've seen countless people publicly proclaiming their faith in Jesus in baptisms during our gatherings. Over 300 children raised up in faith week in and week out by our Capital Kids team. More than 150 high school students regularly attend Base Youth. Bus services are available for the university students every single Sunday. Moms get to spend time with other moms each week, encouraging one another. More than 5,000 people gather together to worship Jesus every Sunday, here at 56 Saul Street, with hundreds of others gathering with us online. Yet, behind every number is a name, and every name has a story, one that you are helping to write through faith. You see, we believe in bringing the tithe, and with that tithe, we sow and invest into churches and communities that God has asked us to partner with. We've invested in church plants like Freedom Church in Benoni with Daryl and Michelle, Cedars Church in Stellenbosch with Adrian and Antoinette, and a number of other churches. Over the years, we continue to support Jeff and Jane in Lisbon and other churches in Pretoria and around South Africa. You may not have even known it, but each time you gave, you were stepping into the story God is writing through this church. 3CI maintains a small staff complement. Where most churches spend 65% of their income on staff salaries, only 27% of our income will go towards staff salaries. By God's grace, we built a 91 million rand building during lockdown with no bond, debt-free. This allows us to live generously and sets up the next generation with an inheritance, not just here in Pretoria, but the nations. We keep investing into mission trips to Mozambique, Live Village, Zimbabwe, and other church missions. We give towards needs in this community, towards widows, medical operations, schooling, and food. Thank you, 3CI, for your astounding generosity this year, for entrusting our elders and leadership with your gifts and offerings, and most of all, for saying yes to all that God is doing through this local church in Pretoria. Our prayer for you is that our faith and generosity would be continually expanded, and that the echo of every story we impact as a church would resonate with the cry of heaven and the headline of history.
Together. So this is such a touchy subject, finances. I can promise you this, you'll never be ripped off in this church. She said it very clearly, all giving in the church is willing. No giving is forced. We're not under the law. It's all willing and it's all cheerful. That's the attitude that you should have. So I've been in the church for 30 years. And when we built, this is the third building project I've been part of. When we built the first project, I was reading a book about money. And right at the end of the book, it said, many buildings stand as a testimony to man's marketing abilities and many stand as monuments to the goodness of God. And I was in Holland, I was opened the book in Amsterdam, and I started to weep. And I felt God say, are you going to build something through your marketing ability, through your leadership gift, or are you going to actually let me invade your church and show you how good I am? And so this building, for those who weren't part of this project, this building is a testimony of our financial philosophy. We didn't beg people. We didn't implore people. We didn't do marketing schemes. We didn't have pledges. We just trusted in the middle of COVID, in the middle of lockdown, in the middle of an economic crisis, this thing came out of the ground. And if people say to you, how? I will say to you, I've got absolutely no idea. No idea. So it doesn't work the same as the business world. The business world works with buying and selling, and some of you are experts. You chartered accountants, you were trained to audit money and to watch how money goes, but the church doesn't work like that. It works with sowing and reaping. And the biggest problem in the church is that we take men and women who are successful in the world of buying and selling and put them in charge of church finances, which work with a completely different principle. So every time we're in trouble, we just give money away. And when you give money away, God gives it back to us. And so we want to invite you on this journey. Nobody's checking. Nobody's watching your payslip. Nobody's following up. And there's not one of the elders that know who gives what. There's only one lady. She's an accountant. And she's not in this church. So if you give a lot of money, nobody will know. If you give a little bit of money, nobody will know. So that when a lot of money goes in, nobody comes and says thank you. Because we don't know. We literally don't know who gives what. But God is good to us. Amen? And so we want to welcome you in this journey. We believe in tithing. Now, some people argue with me, say, but tithing is Old Testament. I'm just telling you what the elders believe in. I'm not telling you have to tithe. I'm just telling you what we believe in. I believe in tithing. Why? I read it in the scriptures in the Old Testament. I'll show it to you. My wife and I were dating. I wanted to sleep with her. And the Bible said I couldn't, so which I thought was a little bit unfair. So I thought I'd go to a church where they allowed me to do that. And then God sent me to a church where they didn't allow me to do that. And then they started to talk about tithing. And we were dating, and she had a 1963 Volkswagen. And she was a waitress and I was a barman. And we sat down and said, well, let's see if we can honor God with our love. Let's honor God with our sexuality and see what he does. We've been married for 32 years now. We've got 4 kids. Got an amazing marriage. I said, well, let's trust God with our money. So we started tithing as a barman and as a waitress. And 2 days later, her starter motor on her Volkswagen broke down. Now, a 1963 Volkswagen is not easy to fix a starter motor. So I found a garage called Uncle Charlie's. Uncle Charlie was just a swearing, cussing, auto-electrical, flipping rough folk. And I said, Uncle Charlie, he says, that's big bucks, China. So I said, hey, big bucks, no bad. I've got to fix the car, Uncle Charlie. So he took it in. He said, this is going to cost you a lot. I said, that's fine. And he's cussing, and I realized he didn't serve Jesus, or if he did, it was a different Jesus to the one I was serving. And when I went to go and pick up the car, he said, hey, China, I don't know, but something told me I must give this to you for free. And I thought, my goodness, I went to my girlfriend, I said, flip, this tithing thing works, eh? it's unbelievable. And literally, we've been tithing for 36 years. Been tithing for 36 years. They say, but Rory, I'm just telling you, we've been tithing for 36. It works for us. It's worked for, if I said to anybody, I've been in the church for 30 years, if I said to people, what do we do? I say, firstly, I'd say tithe, and secondly, I'd say, you men drink too much. But you know, that's just me. Don't worry about what I'm saying. It's just what I feel, you know. And then we had to start building this church. But God has taught us about money over time. And realize that the more we give, we will have enough to do what God wants us to do. There's not a church. I deal with probably 200 churches' finances. There's not a single church in this country where the staff salaries are 27%. I can tell you that. There's not a single church. This is the lowest staff salaries that I know. Our salaries are set externally. Our salaries are modest. I've been here for 12 years. I've had one salary increase. In those 12 years, it was 7%. So you'll see my lovely car. I've got a beautiful car, which was given to me by my friends, because when we built this thing, I tried my guts out for 3 weeks to empower the church to give lots of money so we could build this building. And I trusted God for 15 million rand. I did an incredible leadership job with the veins sticking out of my neck and even in my forehead, telling people to give lots of money. We took up an offering. We got 50 grand. So for 3 days, I cried. And then I realized God said to me, "You're too stupid to build a building in COVID, so let me try." So I gave my car away, I stopped my salary for 22 months, and we started to see God do a financial miracle. Eugene gave his house away, somebody gave him a house, somebody moved into a house, but we needed to raise 91 million rand. And there was a day that actually the money just ran out, finished. No money left. And Clint came to me, and you can see Clint's got hearing aids. I always say this, and I'm not drawing attention to it, but all of it, and I don't want us to laugh, it's a thing we trust in God for. But he came to me and said, "Rory, I've been given an opportunity to ride a bicycle race for 1,400 kilometers. He said, "I've got no more money to give to the building project. I've given everything that I can possibly give. I've given to the building project." He said, "But I've been invited to ride this race, 1,400 kilometers. I said, "Jeepers, Clint, how are you going to ride 1,400 kilometers, one stage race?" He said, "No, my legs are strong." And I felt God say, "His ears are weak, but his legs are strong." He said, "It's just like that in the body of Christ. All of us have got strength and all of us have got weakness. That's why we need each other." And I watched them to start training, started training. And one night, I think it was Pete, we got 600,000 rand came into our account. We trusted God in Psalm 46. He gave us Psalm 46. We trusted God, Psalm 46. And 600,000 rand came into our account. We thought, phew, we had to pay 8.2 million rand for this building to close off the year. And 600,000 rand came. We met together. I think it was Pete or Matt, one of the two guys said, "This money is not enough for us. Give it away." So we gave that money to a church called Unite 180, the only church dumb enough to build as well during COVID. So people said, "You know, you what?" We didn't know them. We didn't know about them. We just know their building. We gave them 600,000. We had nothing in our bank account. I went on holiday. Clint got onto his bicycle. He started riding. Eugene was here running the project. God brought Eugene back from Windhoek to run the project. He was sitting here one day, and a lady came in a polo golf with a mask on. She said, "God told my dad in 1975 to collect gold coins to give to a church that makes him happy. And when I woke up this morning, God said, your church makes him happy." Dropped 6 million rands worth of gold coins in Eugene's lap, got in her polo golf, and she drove away. He got on his bicycle. He rode 1,400 kilometers. 19 guys raised 200,000 rand for education, and he's raised 2.2 million rand for the building project. And now we sit here and say, "How did you build a church?" I think I've got no idea. But I can tell you this, we had a visitation from God. We had a visitation from God. We will not control your money. We will invite you onto a journey of faith. Bitcoin, gold coins, piggy banks. We were in COVID and this thing was finished. We used to sit here and the wind used to blow in this auditorium. The wind used to just blow with all the doors closed. And one Sunday, we needed to raise 5.5 million rand at the end of our building project. And we opened the church from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We just had worship. And people just came in because we were still in COVID. They dropped their offerings on the stage and they walked out. And we counted all the money, opened the piggy banks, scrap piece of paper with a Bitcoin on it, a couple more gold coins. When we added it all together, I think it was 5.5 and 10,000 left over. Building paid for. So you're sitting here in the presence of a miracle. With my own natural ability, 50 grand. And I walked through this auditorium so many times. I think, dear God, this is too holy to touch. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, we will not rip you off. We will not demand from you. We will not twist your arm. We will not manipulate you. But I'd love to just invite you on a journey that's going to change other people's lives. Willingly. Cheerfully. Sacrificially. Invite you on that journey. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 8. I'll put it up on the board for you. 2 Corinthians 8. How many of you are good at your jobs? She says, very few of you, eh? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But just as you excel, say excel. I want to be an excellent husband. And so I learn from people. I want to be an excellent father. I want to be an excellent preacher. I want to be excellent. I mean, you don't go into something to be half-hearted. You want to be good, eh? Sure, I mean, surely. I want the guys on the stage, they're playing their guitars. They're training hour after hour after hour because they want to be excellent worship leaders. So we want to be excellent in our job. We're looking for excellence. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel. Say excel. In the grace. Say grace. Of giving. I've met many excellent sportsmen, many excellent preachers, many excellent physicians, many excellent teachers. I've met very few excellent givers. Very few excellent givers. The grace of giving. Say the grace of giving. It's not the law of giving. It's not the manipulation of giving. It's the grace of giving. I don't know any other church. We're giving away 700,000 rand a month almost this last year. I don't know churches that do that. It's a grace that God has given to us. You say, why must we give if you're giving it away? You don't even know whose life you're changing. My mum is in hospital in Maritzburg this week. She's in ICU in Maritzburg. I walked out of the hospital. There's a man standing there. He looked at me. I went and bought a drink for my mum. He came out. He said, are you Rory from 3CR? I said, yes, I am. He said, Rory, my name is Kevin. I watch you online. I just want to tell you, 5 years ago, I was in trouble. Somebody said, we must watch the 3CR channel. My life has changed. Can I give you a hug? Gave me a hug. He cried. He walked away. And you guys have paid for that. But we don't see it. And it's all over the world. On movie channels. The mission costs money. And I just want to invite you. You don't have to. There's no pressure. No one's watching you. You must be free. You must remember in the book of Exodus, eh? God says over and over again, let my people go so they may worship me. So he wants them free from Pharaoh. So oftentimes we take people out of a sin system and we put them into a religious system. I don't want to do that. I want to take people out of a system. I want to set them free. So your giving is free. Completely free. So let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 9. These are scriptures that you can follow. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. That's just the way the Bible works. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't let any preacher with veins sticking out of his neck force you to give money. And if you have, I pray that you'll get healed here. If you've given anything forcibly, I pray you'll be healed here. Our elders' lifestyles are under control. Our standard of living is not high for the jobs that we do. And our expense upon the church is well within the means that we have. So we don't actually need your money. God loves us. Be happy about it. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Say seed and bread. So every 100 rand you note you've got, there's seed and there's bread. Every 100 rand note, seed and bread. You eat the bread, you sow the seed. When you're in financial trouble, you eat the bread and you eat the seed, and then you hit drought and you think, God, where are you? God is in the seed that's in your stomach. You eat yourself into drought and you can sow yourself out of drought. It's not an amount. It's a principle. Not an amount, it's a principle. What do you believe in, Rory? I believe in tithing. What are you telling us, Rory? I'm not telling you anything. Go and read the Bible. And make a decision in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Make a decision with God on what you're going to do. Does that make sense?
Good, Rory.
When we built this building, we were in lockdown for 6 or 7 months. And then we got this thing from Investec. 1 million rand, unbekend. For you from Scotland, that means anonymous. If it's Patrick, unbekend means anonymous. Bofors. 12 seconds later, Investec, 100 rand, building fund, anonymous. I thought, this is how we build a church. The Afrikaners give $1 million, the English side give $100, and we pay for the thing. That's how we graft. See, it's easy. We suck at yokes. But I put this thing up there. I said, this is how we build a church. Afrikaans and English, $1 million and 100 rand. You think, well, why must I put it? Because you want to be part of the mission. You want to change Portugal. You want to change Cedars. You want to be part of the mission. So old lady comes to me. She calls me Sian. Now, if somebody calls me Sian, you got to know how old they are. Because everybody calls me Oom. She comes to me and says, Sian, wil jy vir hierdie gebou betaal? Ek sê, ja, Tannie. She said, die miljoen rand is my man. En dis net die helfte. I said, Tannie, what do you mean? She said, that's my husband. And he needs to give more. I said, Tannie, wat moet ek doen? She said, jy moet die Here vra om hom te pla. Ek sê, Tannie, hoe moet ek doen? She said, Here pla hom. So under my breath, three times, I say, Lord God, will you bother him, please? I feel so guilty in the name of Jesus. God, bother him in the name of Jesus. This old woman comes into my office with that double checkbook, which doesn't work anyway, but he wants to do it as a sign of God. He comes in with that double checkbook and he says, Jeepers, Sian, ek het gedog ek soveel geld vir die bouwfonds gegee, maar die Here pla my. I think, woohoo, woohoo, die Here pla my. Million rand, he says, Sien, asseblief, vraag die Heer om my nie meer te pla nie. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just pray for you. For God to bother you. And you know what? And then cheerfully and willingly and without any form of pressure, go and do business with God. And ask Him what part of the process you want to be part of. And you will find a joy that you've never understood in your life before. An absolute freedom, an absolute joy. There was an Afrikaans guy in this church, a racist. Didn't like black people. We went on a mission trip to Qatar. 20 of us went. 19 of us stayed with white people. The racist got put with a black family. He came to me, he said, hey, China, you've organized this. I said, I haven't. He said, no, you set this thing up. I said, I promise you I didn't. He said, how's it worked? I said, God, my mate. God. He said, hey, Rory, I'll give you $500 now if you change me. I said, no, the lesson's going to be worth more than that. Came back from Qatar, there's a black guy preaching here. Christian Malo was preaching. That Afrikaans guy got radically touched. He preached about serving God with bread or stones. He said, you can pick up a stone and say, yeah, Jesus, or you can go and plant a wheat field and you can grind the grain down and you can put it in the oven, you can bake a loaf of bread. And he started to weep. And he walked into my office and he said, I'm about to buy a Land Cruiser. And he said, but that black guy touched my heart. 1 million rand. This building has been built by converted racists and 100 rand notes. And coins in piggy banks from little children who put their piggy banks on the stage. So when I walk past 8 and 10-year-old kids now, I know some of them put their piggy banks into this thing. This is very holy.
Very good role.
When you leave here in 10 years' time, you'll be able to say many things about us, but one thing you'll not be able to say, they ripped me off. We'll serve you. Will serve you. It said in Genesis 14, the board. So God spoke to me. I want to include you in this journey. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedorlaomer, the king's allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine. Say bread and wine. Brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, capital G, capital M, capital H. How do you deal with finances, Rory? Give God the capital G, the capital M, and the capital H. How do you deal with alcoholism? Give God the capital G, the capital M, the capital H. How do you deal with past hurt? Give God the capital G, the capital M, capital H. How do you deal with sexual immorality? Give God the capital G, capital M, capital H. Give him the authority, and he will heal you. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by G, M, H, creator of heaven and earth. That word is boss. That word is owner. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a? Of? He didn't ask for money. All he did was break the bread and wine. He told them that God was Most High. And he said he's the owner of everything. And Abraham tithed. And we are the sons of Abraham. You don't actually have to ask people for money. You just have to break the bread and the wine. If you don't understand finances, take a loaf of bread and take a glass of wine or grape juice and sit with it in your, on your table and just look at it. I don't know if it'll take you 1 year or 2 years or 1 minute or so, but if you just look at that, God will teach you about money. It's got nothing to do with money. It's got to do with the sacrifice of Christ. It's about bread and wine. That's why we don't need to ask you for money, because we preach about Jesus. And if you preach about Jesus, people will start giving without asking. Does that make sense to you? So how do finances work in this church? Bread and wine. Some of you heard the story. I met a man on an airplane. We planted a church in Stellenbosch. Some of you know the story. I met a man on the airplane. He said, I've been to your church once. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm relocating to Stellenbosch. I said, I'm preaching there tomorrow. He came to the church. He joined the church. He came back to Pretoria. He said, hey, Rory, I need to give some money to the church. Did I give it to you, 3CR, or I give it to the church in Stellenbosch? I said, no, give it to the church in Stellenbosch, because we don't need the money, because our finances are understood through the bread and wine. And I'm in a covenant, a bread and wine covenant with the man in Stellenbosch. He phoned me and said, that guy you met on the plane gave us R1 million. And now he's just given them R1 million. You see, friends, just bread and wine. Just bread and wine. When we're in communion, when we break bread, there'll be enough money to do what God's called us to do. Make sense? The owner of everything. Let's have a look at Luke 19. Going to go and get the donkey. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner, say owners, with a small O, say small O, asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord, capital L, needs it. That word owner and that word Lord is the same word in Greek. So let me read it to you. As they were untying the colt, the owner, with a small O, asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord, the owner, the big O, needs it. So you know what? Just untie your donkey, your 4x4, your house for Alpha, whatever it is, just untie it. You say, why? Say, because the big O needs it. Simple. Let Jesus ride it in. Not going to worship your donkey, they're going to worship Jesus. Let him just ride it in. Amen?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Five things. Just those five things, if you can quickly put them up. These things are owned by God. Our time, we've all got 24 hours. Our talents, all of us have got different. Our treasures, our money, our relationships. Got a relationship with this guy. Had it for 25 years. He's a strong guy. I'm a strong guy. We've had some tough times, we've had some amazing times, but when I get to heaven, I'm responsible for this relationship. Responsible for this relationship. I get to heaven, responsible for it. Responsible for this relationship. How I treat this woman, responsible. I need people to speak into my life. You're harsh with your wife, or you, I'm responsible. And my time, and my money, and my opportunities, responsible for them. Amen? Does it make sense? Okay, let's bring it to an end. Luke 16, and we finished. Let's go to Luke 19 quickly. Luke 19. No, we've done it. Luke 16, sorry. We're going to finish in 5 minutes. Okay. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? When we came to Pretoria, my wife and I, our truck parked. We're Englishmen. We're from Durban. We're in London. And a man walked up to me and said, "You're about to cross the biggest river in your country, the Vaal. You're going to go Transvaal and you're going to reap in a place that you've not sown and you're going to love a people that are not your own." We parked our truck. We had four Afrikaans neighbors. They all bought us dinner or wine or coffee or food. And I felt God say to me, "Will you love these people? Will you teach them grace? And will you teach them freedom? And will you teach them about me?" And God says, if you are not trustworthy with worldly wealth, if you don't handle your money properly, I'm not going to send the Afrikaans people to you. Because, no, I'm not joking one little bit. Because the true wealth of this church is not money. The true wealth of this church is people. And if I don't handle my finances and the elders do not handle their finances properly, God will not send 500 people to a new members course. And that's why churches are struggling, because people are ripping off the money. This is my prayer. That you go home, take a glass of grape juice or wine if you drink wine, take a piece of bread and look at it. And if you've been manipulated in any way by the church for finances, I pray that would lift off you. And as you look at that, I pray God would shape you for the next 30 years, freely, willingly, without compulsion or force, would teach you how to be a steward of the things that he's given you. And I hope you be free in Jesus' name.
Very good,
Amen.